You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Your source for Big Ten talk. It's Off Tackle Empire.
Welcome back to Off Tackle Empire. We join you now from Love Shack Studios once again, where it has finally stopped raining, and I expect this to last for about 20 minutes.
It's been several minutes since it last rained here in monsoon season in coastal Vietnam or southeastern Michigan. Very similar climates this time of year, so.
Well, we'll miss it in July when all of the grass is dead because it hasn't rained in a month.
I won't miss it. It'll still be humid somehow, but it won't be wet. And we'll be able to let the dog outside without giving him four baths afterwards. So I kind of can't wait for that. Anyway, we're back in football season. By the time this drops, Rutgers week will probably be over, but,
Well, it'll be all over but the hating.
Well, that never stops. So we could just drop this whenever. And honestly, because of a comparison you made with Rutgers last season to a previous Illinois season, I thought we should have just switched the weeks that we dropped these and see if anybody noticed. But we'll do these in proper order. So the Rutgers football Scarlet Knights, 1-11 last year.
In year
0-9
three.
In the Big Ten. True freshman quarterback played damn near every meaningful snap, except in the Michigan State game. What are we doing here? Because it year two, it kind of felt like there was a sign that this might be going the right direction. But
they beat Purdue. They did this behind, and it was the thing is it was behind. I mean, they beat Illinois. So did everybody. But then they beat Purdue. Okay, then they beat Maryland, and it was with some stifling defense, especially against the pass, which is kind of what Chris Ash has his whole identity built on. Like, it looked like the blueprint for how Rutgers is going to beat you under Chris Ash. And then they went 1-11.
Well, when we said this before last season, is that in starting a true freshman at this point in his tenure, Chris Ash was putting all of his chips on Art Sitkowski being a big-time talent pretty much right away. That, I mean, there would have been some space for some growing pains there, but that he chose Sitkowski to be his guy who would make or break his tenure. I think we kind of know how that's going to turn out now, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, that, you know, even if you ignore the concerns about Sitkowski, I recall our Minnesota source relaying a quote from one of the Minnesota scouts that was looking at Zach Anikstad, who eventually won the job at IMG Academy over him, saying that Sitkowski is, quote, the kind of coach or the kind of quarterback that gets coaches fired. Even if we ignore his quality as a player, you look at the style of player he is, and unless you're an air raid Big 12 team or a Mike Leach team, you don't see those pocket passers, those slingers, have success as freshmen. When you talk about a quarterback having success as a true freshman, it's because they're the best athlete at the position that the team has.
That or they just happen to be on a team that's strong around them, but for weird depth chart reasons, they're the one who happens to start, and they're not asked to do much right away.
Yeah, Art Sitkowski could genuinely be an NFL prospect, and he still would have struggled big time last year. Because it's like a pro-style offense that's built on the run. Those are the kind of things that you don't just pick up real easily and have success. And that's why I was so surprised that they kept sticking with him until the very last game of the season. Because at some point,
And they compounded the mystery of that, because with last season, they did, their alternative was Gio Rossinio, a senior who had an established pretty low ceiling, but also kind of a higher floor than Sitkowski. You knew what you were going to get from him. It wasn't going to be a whole lot, but they won a few games with him the year before. But as you said, they didn't really play him until they were already 1-10, and somehow they almost won the Michigan State game. That was less about Rutgers than, frankly, because of where Michigan State's offense was, which we'll get to when I get to talk about my team. Can't wait. Going to be fun. But they go the whole season sticking with Sitkowski, playing him through all these struggles, and then this offseason, They bring in McLean Carter as a grad transfer from Texas Tech. He's eligible immediately.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfuckers.
Oh, yeah, the most Texas Tech name maybe yet, right? I mean, Taylor Potts is up there, but no, that's probably the most Texas Tech name. Two last names really always helps.
I just feel like, I don't know if the mic caught that motorcycle revving there, but it almost feels like that's got to happen every time you say McLean Carter.
Yeah, you said McLean Carter and
McLean Carter. So anyway,
so you bring him in probably with the expectation that he's going to play or at least compete for the starting job, and this is after you let Sitkowski get beat to shit, throw a ton of interceptions.
McLean Carter.
It was a bit late that time, but there he goes. So. I just don't get it. I really don't. If it's just a matter of needing another body in case Sitkowski gets hurt, I think they still have other guys on the roster.
Jonathan Lewis is a tight end now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not like he ever threw the ball into his end anyway. So we'll look at kind of how Rutgers projects last year versus it. So,
you know, and it could... Like, I want to say that it could be that Chris Ash, you know, if he could do it over again, he wouldn't have... So, and it's also like, I don't know whose decision this was, if it was Chris Ash or John McNulty that kept going to that well, but you wonder if he would do it again differently, and that may dictate whether or not he says, hey, you know what, we're building for the future, here's a guy that's got some experience throwing the ball at a college level, what if we redshirted Sitkowski? We can play him in 4 games.
Yeah.
We can still preserve this guy's future, but that's contingent on you sticking around, which... Oh boy, after what happened in year 3 and what's happening in recruiting there, I mean, I don't see any way you can keep him around without making a bowl game.
Rock solid segue you got there. So let's talk recruiting, which we'll do in each of these segments to kind of give you an idea of where they are going forward from a talent perspective. We'll also mention what they lost from last year.
Well, you know, what they've been building too, because,
yeah,
you know, again, this is year 4 for Chris Ash, so his initial recruiting class... is seniors. When I say initial recruiting class, I mean the guys that he brought in at the beginning of his tenure before he'd coached a game. That back end.
Yeah, which, I mean, there's always a little bit of an asterisk on that class.
But his first
usually,
full class,
yeah, well,
is juniors.
Yeah. Usually, the first guys you bring in are mostly recruited by the previous guys. You got to keep who you can, grab who you can still pick up. So that first class is always a little bit transitional. But yeah, most of the roster, especially because it's not like he was left with an abundance of talent, most of the roster now are guys that he recruited. And this year's recruiting class, you know, there's going to be some guys who outperform their ranking. There always are, but per 24/7, still dead last in the Big Ten.
About a 64 national ranking?
Yeah, and that this is after they were 13th in the conference last year. There's just not a lot of obvious, like, you know, this guy is going to be talent, is going to have the physical ability to play.
Certainly no immediate impact players.
No, and that's not to say that none of these guys will be any good or that none of them will play. There probably will be a couple guys who play right away. And, you know, it is also true that that ranking, I don't think, accounts for the transfers, because in addition to Carter, they also got Drew Singleton, a transfer linebacker from Michigan, who was a former 4-star. So they've brought in a little bit of talent.
As well as Kyle Peniston, whose name is just wonderful.
So the grad transfer from Wisconsin, news on that just dropped earlier this week. So they've picked up a few pieces that you could see him sticking into the lineup right away. But yeah, man, I just... At what position... Even in what position group versus any opponent in the Big Ten, can you decisively say, yes, Rutgers is better. They have the advantage here. They are definitely better.
Wide receivers only because Illinois exists.
I don't even know about that. Look at the career production from Rutgers wide receivers. And grab part of that is because of how absolutely god-awful the passing game was last year, where you had multiple games where there would only be one or two catches by wide receivers.
Yeah, because he threw an awful lot to the running backs. In fact, I think two running backs, like, as far as number of receptions go, you have to go two running backs deep before you get to a wide receiver.
And part of that's because Blackshear is a really good receiving tailback. But, part of it is just because, look, it's fair to say if the pass protection's not great, if Sitkowski's accuracy isn't great, maybe you can't blame the receivers that much. But, boy, they're not really doing him any favors, are they?
I mean... We talk about how bad Sitkowski was, but God, it's hard to blame him when you put up stats like that. You can't really blame the quarterback that much because so much has to go wrong. You got to have the coaches stick with him for that. You have Chris Ash, who, of course, is on his third offensive coordinator, and it's a first, you know, so that he's playing a first-year offensive coordinator with this freshman quarterback. You've got the fact that the offensive line recruiting hasn't allowed them to build the depth that would allow them to absorb the injuries they had at the tackle positions, giving Sitkowski any time to throw. So then he loses the confidence to throw to the receivers. So all he's doing is just trying to survive until he can find a running back in the flat.
Right, and it just, if you're a Rutgers fan and you're a little bit on the optimistic side, as many of you people tend to be for some reason, you might look at these recruiting classes and be like, oh, well, look, we've got three-star talent across the board. That's not bad, right? Well, no, because, again, remember who you're playing here. Remember in particular this play I'll never forget from last year's game against, say, Ohio State, a team that's on schedule for you every year from now until the conferences reshuffle again. And remember Nick Bosa timing a snap perfectly, basically just phase-walking through two offensive linemen like they weren't even there, and clubbing Sitkowski in the ankles before he really even caught the ball from the snap. Remember that. And yeah, Bosa's gone, but Ohio State's always got guys like that. Michigan's always got guys like that. Penn State's always got guys like that. Even Michigan State often finds guys like that.
But we're not even talking about those guys. Okay, the Illinois game, even though it was a 21-point loss, was actually extremely winnable for Rutgers. They lost that game early on when Sitkowski turned it over twice, because eventually the offense was able to get something going, but then they got it to two scores in the fourth quarter, and then immediately sophomore offensive linemen just blasted their defensive line off of the first play from scrimmage, and Mike Epstein took it to the house, and that ended the game.
Yeah.
I mean, so, when you're losing in the trenches like that, there's just nothing you can do.
So we've mentioned a couple particular matchups from last year. It's a good way, I think, to shuffle into the schedule for this year.
Yeah, so I'm going to crack out a win, fight, try at Brewster of the Week, which is Virtue Cider's Michigan Brute, because it's virtually guaranteed that they're going to play Michigan, and it's going to be brutal.
God, yeah. So they open up with a home date with UMass. Still independent, right? UMass is still homeless after being evicted from the MAC, which is one of the funnier stories in all of college athletics, I think.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, The Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Rutgers traditionally had, Rutgers was a former conference mate of Temple who got kicked out of the Big East.
Yeah. But look,
there's a lot of kicking out of teams from conferences in the Northeast.
Yeah, almost like from a college athletics standpoint, most of the time they don't belong there. So look, UMass, everyone knows the name Andy Isabella. If you pay any attention to college football, he was a fantastic receiver. He's now gone.
A game-changing return, man.
Yeah, and if you want my projection on how UMass is going to play next year, sorry, I don't do 128 teams the way Bill C does. If he would hustle up and do the Big Ten before we start doing these projections, it'd be a lot easier for us, by the way. But anyway, UMass is a team you got to beat if you're Rutgers. Even if they're having a little bit of an up phase, UMass is a team you got to have, because after that, you go to Iowa. And playing on the road at Kinnick Stadium is a much different thing than at home. Iowa's not a great team, and they lost a lot of high-level talent from last year, but at positions where they tend to replace those guys pretty easily.
Iowa's going to beat you 14-10.
That, or it's, I mean,
14-7, probably.
Yeah, well, didn't we talk about this last year? What was it? Was it 14-10 or was it 14-7 that they had like three times?
Well, 14-10 was the Iowa score, or was it 17-10?
One of those.
Other than that, it's just, I remember, I want to say it was 2016, the last time before last year that Rutgers lost all their conference games. Iowa played them 14-7 for some reason.
Yeah.
Of course, I mean, I don't know. That's going to be early in the year before Kirk Ferentz is pissed at himself for pissing away the Big Ten West to Northwestern. So he doesn't need to necessarily take it out on you yet.
Yeah, well, there will be that. There will also be the fact that because it's early in the year, Ferentz might think it's a non-conference game like Iowa State and not take it seriously and then lose. So that's always a possibility, but that's probably a loss. You have the week three bye, which is never preferred, but it's happening in that non-conference.
Well, yeah, it happens because you're Rutgers. Like, when you don't figure to be in a lot of primetime games that make a lot of money, they just assign you buys at stupid times.
Well,
welcome to being Illinois.
It could be that, but, you know, Michigan State has also had a bye in the first 2 or 3 weeks of the season for like 5 years in a row now because...
Take that, Michigan State.
Well, no, because multiple opponents canceled the series that they had scheduled, and so they couldn't find anybody to play that week. They had to settle for... And yeah, it's not ideal by any means, but it may be because Rutgers is, you know...
You see how I'm growing? You see how I just let that go? Anyway, Rutgers, yeah, if they don't beat UMass, then...
Oh, the 0-12 train will absolutely leave the station if they don't beat UMass. 100%,
because then, after Iowa, it's Boston College, right?
Yeah, yeah, Boston College still has A.J. Dillon. Not a great offensive team by any means, but also now consistently producing NFL talent on the offensive line and at least the second two levels.
Yeah, I mean, this is... Boston College is, for all intents and purposes, a Big Ten team in a different conference. I mean,
yeah, they kind of feel like Iowa, honestly. It's going to be like playing them again. And then after that, you take your trip to Michigan, which, have those trips generally gone well for Rutgers so far? No. No, they haven't.
Well, they've been better than the home games.
I suppose. If technically by score, sure. And then you enter this four-game stretch in the schedule where, well, five, I guess, where you're going to have to get any wins that are going to be available. We have Maryland at Indiana, Minnesota at home, Liberty at home, and then the road trip to Illinois. Let's talk about scheduling Liberty. Why? Why do you do this? Why do you disgrace us by scheduling that fake-ass non-university that's basically just a tax shelter for one of the biggest hucksters to have ever lived? You idiots. Why did you schedule Liberty and pay them money for this? Because now what's going to happen is they're going to beat you. They're going to take your money and they're going to beat you and they're going to call it God's blessing. You dolts.
Nothing good can come from this. Absolutely nothing good can come from this because you beat them 120 to nothing. You still paid them.
Yeah, you still paid them 100 grand. You gave them money. You gave them. This is why we don't give you all the Big Ten money.
You want your full Big Ten share? Not until
you can wait another 10 years.
Handle it responsibly.
You can wait another 10 years. Now we're putting you.
If you want a full share of your allowance, boy, you're going to need to demonstrate that you can be trusted with it, not give it to Liberty.
I know this is the equivalent of paying the guy at the corner to buy you cigarettes when you're 9. Like this is, yeah, you're grounded, Rutgers. You're grounded for this, and then you've got the second buy. Wrapping up the season, home dates with Ohio State, Michigan State, road trip to Penn State. Boy, we've seen this picture before, haven't we? With a backloaded schedule, if they don't achieve anything on the front end, what are they going to be playing for at that point? Because if Rutgers gets through this first stretch of the schedule, gets that second bye, and they have one or two wins on the ledger, are they not firing Chris Ash? Do they not make that decision before the end of the season? I think maybe they do. And given a team with substantially less talent than each of its last three opponents, with a coach who is gone, that's probably going to get out of hand. I mean, maybe they do the thing where they rise up and play for the interim or whatever, but boy, you got to get your
wins.
It's
going to happen there. It's going to happen in Michigan State.
Well, yeah, because it's almost happened a couple times, and we'll see. Talk to me on 10 different days, and I could give you 10 different opinions on what I think Michigan State's going to do this year. They're going
to
be
good. God, MSU loves to almost lose to Rutgers. How many times have they done it now? Because there was
twice.
The fourth down spike.
There's that, and then there's last year.
Yeah, okay. I guess it was just a couple of times because
then there was one
time that Michigan State was really awful, they won 49-0.
Right. So, and that's most of them have been wider margins. But yeah, sooner or later, I'm sure Rutgers will eventually get off the schneid against Michigan State in football or basketball. Hasn't happened yet, and we're in.
It'll be basketball.
Not this year. We going 40-0, baby, undefeated, national champs.
Make some t-shirts for it to guarantee it won't happen. Or in Kentucky. When was it that Kentucky did that?
It was the Anthony Davis year, wasn't it? 2012?
That wasn't the year that they lost as a one seed in the NIT, was it?
No.
They lost.
No.
I think it was the year after that, because they didn't make it anywhere near as far in the tournament as you would have thought. And then the next year, they lost to Robert Morris in the NIT.
Well, the Anthony Davis year was the year they won the title, so maybe
yeah.
It wasn't.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, What does Chris Ash have to do with this schedule to not get fired? 4 wins? 5?
Get back to where he was in year two?
Right, that was 4-8, yeah? So, five, and if you're going to say five, why don't you just say bowl? Like,
Liberty is one of those things where it's like, they were 6-win independent, but like, you know they're stockpiling some talent. Art Briles is the coach, right?
At Liberty, no, Hugh Freeze.
Oh, Hugh Freeze, okay. Oh, okay, yeah, you know. You can see how I can make that mistake.
An even bigger hypocrite. I thought there was a rumor they were going to hire. Isn't Briles like their athletic director or something? They definitely hired him, but not as the coach.
The athletic director from Baylor, I think they fired. Yeah. Yeah, so they're just collecting the dregs of all of the great Southern evangelical hypocrites. And installing them in places of power.
Who would be the next one? Like, we'll watch like Dabo Swinney will be like running a sweatshop under the Clemson football facility or something. But I don't think there's anybody else really publicly over the top visible other than Dabo.
I mean, because like Bobby Petrino was never all that, you know.
No, he wasn't high and mighty or anything. Yeah. Well, and he's gone now too.
Bruce Pearl is going to be their basketball coach.
Yeah, I can see. Tell me you can't see a couple of very plausible timelines. Like, do the Doctor Strange thing. We're reviewing all these future timelines. And tell me there's not at least a couple thousand of them where you can see Bruce Pearl as the head coach at Liberty within, like, the next 3 to 4 years. Like, that's a very real... All right.
Ew. Well, anyway, that's one of those ones where, again, you really just can't win with that one because that's one that there's a decent chance you lose, but there's absolutely no way you lose that game without it looking terrible.
Right. And if you win, nobody's gonna pay any attention. Nobody's gonna care.
So you got two games on there. You've got two games that winning won't do anything for you.
Yeah,
UMass and Liberty. Boston College would be, every other win would be good. Yeah. But how many wins that matter are enough? 3?
Well, yeah. So when you say wins that matter, when you're in Ash's position, they all matter. Because, I mean, these are all FBS teams.
Well, I mean, the biggest one on there, let's not kid ourselves.
Is Illinois.
It's always been Illinois for the last several years, ever since Purdue decided to get their
to move out of the basement, right?
It used to be us in the Hazel years. It was us and Purdue. You know, then they decided that they were going to get a real job and, you know, quit growing weed and getting drunk and eating chicken fingers.
Frig off, Julian.
and then Rutgers came in and wanted to hang out with us. What's funny is that in the Illinois series, in its current form, the home team has yet to win a game. So that bodes poorly for Illinois, but it does portend good things for Chris Ash's Scarlet Knights. Now,
but I mean, look up.
That is the one because you've got to be better than somebody to not be the worst. And Illinois is really the only one that looks within reach. Indiana is upgrading their talent level much faster than Rutgers.
True, but it's still there's not a wide enough gulf
they
there for that to be.
They flashed the shit out of them last year too, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah. Like it's still on paper, it's not a wide enough talent gulf for you to rule out a win at Indiana, and that's kind of like that would be a hilarious next chapter in how this budding rivalry has gone.
But like even if Rutgers is better next year, like. It winning against Indiana looks less plausible
going
this
for,
fall
oh yeah, this
than
fall and
last
go,
year.
No, well, this fall and going forward. Yeah. Yeah, because of the differential you mentioned. The other thing I think you could probably tack up is who really knows what Maryland is going to look like this year.
Yeah, that's entirely fair.
We'll get to them. They're substantially later in our series here, but
when has Maryland not been a question mark since
They should not have been last year, but you know, for reasons.
Yeah.
It certainly became, but no, the roster they had on paper last year should have achieved a lot of great things, but it just wasn't meant to be. I mean, injuries, and then it's the wide receivers the last year. Am I remembering that right?
Well, I mean, I think, there were some offensive line injuries, if I recall correctly, because they had some talent on the O-line.
Yeah, no, last year was the year where the late Edsel and early Durkin, like, stockpiling of all these great offensive line prospects was supposed to pan out because they had all lined up as multi-year experienced senior, like former five-star, like they should have been one of the best offensive lines in the country, and it just didn't happen. They had their moments. They had individual games where guys went wild.
Well, there was that stretch of 3 games where they scored 22 points a game, despite scoring 3 in one and 0 in another.
Right.
That was some good stuff. Well, they did put up that game at the end of the season against Ohio State. But we're talking about Maryland because we don't want to talk about...
We can just stop. We can be done. There. Watch. We're done.
Your source for...
Rutgers.
Talk, it's Off Tackle Empire.